The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We are back. The second half of the show is live from Fayetteville, and what a second half we have. We've already talked to Coach Pittman, and let us introduce again. But Hunter Yurecek is joining us. Hunter, we've talked to you so many times. We were out here a couple of years ago. I think it was maybe 15 degrees. Yeah. It's a lot better today.
It is a lot better. I think that time you were here, we had parkas and heaters and brought you coffee.
You did.
In the morning for sure, but just a beautiful day here in Fayetteville.
Well, things are so exciting, and I know ultimately things have to progress on all aspects. But just describe this week and what we are going to encounter not only tonight after we go off the air, but tomorrow with the University of Texas coming in here.
Sure. I think we all took a collective breath at halftime of the Rice game. Our team came out and played very well in the second half. And from that point on, it was Beat Texas week. And the energy in and around Fayetteville, Northwest Arkansas, and the entire state of Arkansas, you can feel it all week. And you can feel it building to what we expect is going to be a special night at Razorback Stadium.
Let's talk a little bit about what is going to happen here. You were telling me festivities nonstop until tomorrow night.
Absolutely. You know, it starts tonight. We drive Tusk around campus with their cheerleaders. We have a big pep rally that'll end at our outdoor amphitheater. That'll progress down to Dixon Street where our students hang out for most of the night. And then tailgating will start robustly tomorrow morning. We've got Hogtown out here 4 hours before the game. Our team walk the Hog Walk. And we've got a special tribute to 9/11 as well inside the stadium.
Hunter, we've had so many conversations over the last year and a half, and you've been so kind to come on and give us a status report. And tomorrow night is going to be an explosion of energy and excitement, but you still have to deal with COVID, whether any of us want to or not, we have to. How are you, or how have you dealt with that to try to find as much safety as you can?
Sure. Well, first and foremost, my main responsibility is to ensure the safety and well-being of our student athletes and our staff. And our football team is over 90% vaccinated now, as our entire staff is vaccinated. So feel really good about our student athletes and our staff. And then as we talk about our fans, we're following our campus policies, which is masking in indoor spaces such as our club areas and our suites and restrooms. And we ask our fans to be respectful of each other and their decisions first and foremost, and to follow that policy.
And in terms of what's happening tomorrow night, we've seen it everywhere. We saw it last night in Tampa. It seems, I'm not trying to create something out of cloth here, but it seems like for the most part, things are going fairly well.
I think things are going very well, and I think everybody's just is hoping for that sense of normalcy. And I think professional sports, college sports, give you that sense of normalcy when you see those crowds in stadiums like you did last weekend across the country and you saw last night as the NFL season kicked off.
Let's talk a little bit about what's happening today in college athletics. University of Houston, a school you know very well.
Absolutely.
And three others are heading to the Big 12, Texas, Oklahoma, heading this way, we don't know when. It's an uncertain time in intercollegiate athletics. As someone who has seen it all from a couple of different views, we are curious about your view.
Well, first and foremost, I'm excited for Dr. Couture and Chris Pesman and the staff at Houston for the opportunity that they have to join the Big 12 and become a Power 5 institution. Excited for that. That was always the goal there. And for us as the SEC, we're excited to welcome Texas and Oklahoma as members of the Southeastern Conference, two of the premier brands in all of college athletics. Makes our conference even stronger than it already was. And this tomorrow's night here with Texas, it's the first major competition against either one of those schools within this conference. Happens to be against one of their longtime rivals. And I think you'll see how special Texas and Oklahoma's addition to the Southeastern Conference can be tomorrow night.
And as someone who tries to bring people together to find collaboration, I am curious what you think about a lot of the shots that have been delivered against a man that I know you will see or have seen already, and we will see in about an hour, Greg Sankey, because everyone knows what happened a couple of months ago. And everyone would have done the same thing. How do you feel about some of the attacks on him?
Well, I think they're not warranted, first and foremost, because I think as you're saying that Commissioner Sankey did what he thought was best for the Southeastern Conference and the Big Ten, the Big 12, the ACC, the Pac-12 would have all done the same thing if Oklahoma and Texas had knocked on their door. And if they're being honest, they would tell you that. And so, you know, I admire Commissioner Sankey and his leadership, and he's taken this conference. He's elevated it. I mean, we got through COVID last year, I think, really because of him and his leadership, and it helped all of college athletics. And this is just another one of those leadership moves that he made in welcoming Texas and Oklahoma to the Southeastern Conference. And so, you know, I understand people's feelings are hurt by that, but, you know, he's doing what was in the best interest of the SEC and the presidents and the athletic directors that he represents.
As an athletic director who has already sat in on some of those meetings and will sit in on many more, trying to figure out what it's going to look like, I bring that up because only Arkansas can claim the toughest schedule in the country 2 years
yes,
in a row.
Right.
What can you tell us about, and I realize we're not there yet.
Sure.
We don't know yeah. when Texas and Oklahoma come in, but what are your thoughts on how the SEC is going to look whenever that happens?
Yeah, I mean, I think we looked at 27 different iterations of potential football schedules when we met a few weeks ago as athletic directors with Commissioner Sankey and the conference staff. And that's just, you know, one of the models that we really want to make sure, one of the keys to the models is we want to make sure that we get to every campus within a 4, 5, or 6 year period. Right now it's a 12 year period in that cycle. And so whatever that model looks like, I think the number one priority that we're all in agreement is that we have an opportunity for our student athletes to compete in each other's campus at least one time during their career.
And does that mean, or do we not know yet, the dissolution of East versus West?
I think everything is on the table right now. I think there's some pod models, some divisional models, some straight 16-team models, and I don't think there has not been any decisions made. And, again, we looked at 27 different models, anywhere from 8 to 10 games, and so I think everything is still on the table. We want to make sure we do what's best for our league and the health of football within our league and make sure we position ourselves to continue to compete for national championships.
We know because everyone who's ever lived in the state knows the importance of Texas. We know the importance of Texas A&M. Missouri's up the road. Oklahoma's across the street. How do you, if asked, who do you want to be your rival? How do you decide that?
Sure. Well, I don't know that we're going to get to decide exactly who's going to be our rival. And there's no days off in this league from football down to men's and women's golf. I mean, this is the most competitive league in all of college athletics. And whoever you draw, whether it's an 8-game, 9-game, 10-game schedule as we saw last year, you're going to have a gauntlet that it doesn't matter who you are.
And finally, before you go, the second part of this puzzle is what we thought was going to be a 12-team playoff, and now depending on where you read or what you read, everything is on hold. You're considered among the very top leaders in intercollegiate athletics, so where are we on the playoff?
I think we're still considering the models that range from an 8 to 10 to 12 team playoff. I don't think that anyone has made any definitive decisions. I know the group is going to meet here later this month, but I think as the SEC, we would be supportive of a model that expands the playoff, and whether that's the 8 teams or 12 teams, still yet to be determined. I know, obviously what happened with the Big 12 will have some bearing on that today. And so I think the best thing we can do is not rush and make a bad decision, because the playoff has worked really, really well for college football. And we want to make sure whatever decision we make next continues to work well for college football.
Hunter Yurecek, who's a very busy man right now, and you got a couple to the game. I'm trying to
get it. Absolutely.
You've been asked that
yes.
this week?
I have a few times, yes.
Great to have you here.
It's great to be here. Thank you for being here, Paul.
Such a pleasure to have Hunter Yurecek on. We are going to take a break, and we have some major guests remaining, including the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference and Joe Tessitore. He'll drop by. He's doing the game tomorrow night.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back. We're live in Fayetteville, and Joe Tessitore has arrived. So I was just thinking yesterday, it seems like yesterday we were sitting here together with Jerry Jones.
We've had some great times here through the years.
We really have.
In Razorback, in Hog Country. We had Jerry Jones once sitting between us, and Marcus, I believe, if I recall the story, Marcus mentioned something about Jerry's shoes, how expensive the shoes were. And Jerry turned to him and said, well, I gave you enough paychecks to buy some nice shoes, too.
And while he was looking at him, Jerry took off his shades, very famous shades.
That's right.
And I grabbed them and put them on. Now, what's Jerry worth?
Oh, please. Well, I mean, the Cowboys are one of the most expensive franchises in the world. Billions.
He's worth tens of billions of dollars.
Correct.
And he looked at me like I had just wiped his Goldman Sachs account out.
No, you crossed the line. That would be like if I was in London and I grabbed the Queen's purse. I mean, that's pretty much the equivalent. In America, that's the equivalent. Taking Jerry Jones, $40,000 sunglasses would be like reaching in. Hey, Queenie, you got some gum there? That would about be the equivalent.
I was just hoping he didn't notice. He did.
Now, Jerry's going to be here tomorrow. So is Stephen Jones. So, I mean, this is a huge one.
Yeah.
Paul, listen, you say what you want about a lot of different games that you can put on the schedule, right? And rivalries that have been dormant. There is something about Texas-Arkansas that I'm not sure the rest of the nation gets. And then you come here, and the Hogs fans, the Razorbacks fans generationally, I believe that there is a certain generation of Razorback fans that hates Texas more than they like themselves.
Well, it's interesting. Coach Pittman was by earlier, and he alluded to the statement he made earlier this summer that these guys, Texas, that's the biggest rival, and some fans didn't.
Oh, it is. It is. See, what I love about the game that we're broadcasting here Saturday night is that it's got a lot of the past, it's got a lot of the present, but it's got a very, very attractive future, right? Because the past is 1969 and winning the national championship and Richard Nixon. It's 1981 and Lou Holtz upsetting number one Texas.
Right.
It's 2004. And the present is the anticipation of all of this, right? The present is the ascension of two programs getting back to where they deserve to be. And the future is that we're going to have a tremendous SEC rivalry, the rebirth of a rivalry, and you're going to have it in the SEC.
So, Joe.
Yes, Paul.
Still thinking about stealing something from the Queen. Which
Jerry Jones's sunglasses. The man. You also were in a dunking booth.
I was.
Here
yeah. Were you throwing the balls? Or was you were laughing.
I can't. Well, yeah, I think Tebow may have been throwing the balls.
Please.
Is he here today?
Tim?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's here. He's part of the SEC.
Excellent.
I know you've been gone. You've been off.
I've been gone for
you've
years,
been off hanging
I'm
around billionaires, but we're still here. Nothing's changed. For those who don't know what we're talking about, and that would include probably most of the audience, Joe Tessitore, who's sitting right here, was the original host of SEC
Nation.
Yeah,
but see, that's like a trivia question now because Laura Rutledge has taken over the world.
Yeah.
She's like the biggest star in all of media. She's her own solar system of media personality. I think she's done 17 shows today, by the way. She's anchored about 17 network shows.
She hosted
shows.
The View while you were watching.
She was hosting The View. She's doing World News Tonight, NFL Live. So nobody cares that I was the original host of SEC Nation.
You were,
who, by the way, auditioned all of you guys.
You did. Well, I don't
what
know.
A mess
I'm not,
what a mess
I'm not,
we created.
I'm not sure you auditioned
What a mess
me.
We Did I audition?
No, I think
now,
I,
wait a second.
I
recall walking into a radio studio in 2009, 2010. But,
more like 2011.
Man.
But the point
was
being.
Was it 2011?
Yeah. It was right after.
When did we do Roll Tide War Eagle?
2011.
Was it 2011?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've told that story.
That's it. Hey, we got a good game tomorrow.
Yeah,
that's where
I was going. I
what
was
do you
trying,
like?
I'm gonna pull a trick here.
Go ahead.
That drives me crazy. Okay.
Yeah.
You're sitting there like Herb Street on game day, or McElroy, or whatever. You go, okay, hey, Herbie, what do you like?
Well, I'm calling the game.
I'm calling the game. Well, I'm doing a show from the game tomorrow, Joe, so I can't call it until the end of the show.
Right.
Tell us about this game.
Well, the game is fascinating because, you have an Arkansas defense that is extraordinarily well coached with Barry Odom, who has two, all-SEC type linebackers, has a guy who I think may be the best defensive back in all of college football in Catalan. Kyle Hamilton, I just did the Notre Dame-Florida State game, was a thriller. This guy, I think, is equally as good. So you got an Arkansas defense that is very much up to the task of taking on anybody. You have a Texas offense that, yes, in Hudson Card, you have a young quarterback who's going to be thrown into the fire in an atmosphere that he's never had before. But you have, in Bijan Robinson, I really believe this. If he stays healthy, the things he has shown so far, the flashes of athleticism, the burst, what he can do in the open field, this guy may end up in that upper tier of all-time great Texas running backs. Now, hit the brakes. Hold on a second. How can you say that when there's Earl Campbell and Ricky Williams and Cedric Benson? I really believe he has the physical traits to be that.
You just brought up a guy that, in fairness, most people outside of that cocoon in Texas have never heard of.
That's okay.
And you just compared him
to
Earl
That's exactly
Campbell.
What I said. No, I said he could be.
Well, but you know how the interpretation
I
are.
Understand that.
I didn't hear it. He could be. I heard that he's on his way to being.
He does things. There are certain moments when you watch Bijan Robinson where you say, normal guys can't do that. Normal guys don't do that. Now, he has pure speed, but yet he has power and body control. The guy in the open field, out of the backfield, he's dynamic as a pass catcher. In between the tackles, he's excellent. I'm telling you, Paul, this guy.
That's like going downtown here for karaoke night.
Yes.
Going,
oh, that would be great.
That guy's in the same league as Sinatra.
Don't you ever, ever say that name with anybody. You could go with Barry Manilow. You could go with Paul Anka. I'll eat anybody you want, okay?
I've been to your restaurant.
Never
I know,
bring up
I know.
Sinatra
I mean, you walk
like
in
that.
And there's Frank.
By the way, what is your go-to karaoke song? If we had to put a microphone in your hand and you had to sing a karaoke song, it would be?
Fly Me to the Moon.
Sinatra.
Oh, I grew
Tomorrow
up.
On SEC Nation, second block, Paul Feinbaum sings Fly Me to the Moon.
I grew up with Sinatra vinyls in my house.
I mean, who didn't?
Well,
guys, the greatest entertainer of the last 100 years.
Remember, I grew up in Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay. I mean, should have been Elvis.
Most people had Elvis. My father had Sinatra and the
X factor of this game, though.
Oh, the X
just to wrap it up. The X factor of this game is KJ Jefferson.
This is what we went through for 2 years on SEC Nation.
No, it's KJ Jefferson. Because a lot of people didn't like the way he played last week.
No.
And he's going to have to show a level of maturity and control in this game. And there's going to be ugly moments in this game for him.
Okay.
But he has to have resolve. He has to get through it. He can run the ball, right? And you can always lean on that. But he can't play sloppy. He can't beat his own team. He has to stay within himself, and he's going to have to convert a few key third downs. But if he plays poorly, boy, it's going to be an uphill battle. But if he plays to his level of physical ability, we are going to have a thrilling one-possession game that's going to be a big, big win for either team. This is a really – see, that's what I love about this game. It sets the trajectory for both these programs early.
It does. Joe Tessitore, who was in Tallahassee Sunday night.
Oh, what a game that was.
Everyone
huh?
in the country watching that game.
18-point deficit. They come back
fun.
With Mackenzie Milton.
Yeah.
Guy hadn't played football for 1,100 days.
I mean, when he came
Nine
in the game,
surgeries.
I thought – I mean, did you break the voice decimal reader?
I believe I did. Paul, honest to goodness, if he had scored a game-winning overtime touchdown, that is a Disney movie.
Yeah.
I mean, do you understand? This guy, they were talking about, will we be able to save the leg? There was artery damage.
GBX just
there
asked was me, nerve is that better than Rudy?
Are you serious with the Rudy stuff?
That's what he asked me.
Rudy.
He's producing
Rudy,
the show.
Don't even get me involved in that fraudulent. Are you serious with that? You just compared a walk-on coming on to make a nothing play at the end of a nothing game against Georgia Tech with Mackenzie Milton coming into the game and sprinkling magic all over the field? Rudy? It would make Rudy look like nothing. Rudy.
I'm trying to remember.
How about these fans over here?
We were having dinner one night.
Look at this.
Little pig.
They love Paul. They love
Joe Tessitore not the greatest play-by-play broadcaster in the world.
Paul. Yeah, but you see, nobody. Just crickets.
Tessitore, that's T-E-S. Joe,
you know what Arkansas needs tomorrow is Treylon Burks to play like the best receiver in the SEC because he didn't last week. He was in a walking boot. He is the dominating player who can win any matchup. He has to play big tomorrow.
If they do the McKenzie Milton story for Disney.
Yes.
I mean, can I get my friend Robert De Niro a role, Bobby?
I believe he may be past
my memory's
his prime
good, isn't it?
Yeah. I think Pacino we could get in there. Pacino's been a football coach before on the silver screen.
De Niro's never played a football coach, has he?
Yeah. No.
He's the greatest living American actor.
Who's this?
For the audience that doesn't know what we had dinner years ago.
This is a running joke. We don't need to retell.
If we start
telling stories of every dinner we've had, we're going to be fired within about 20 minutes.
Joe got up at the restaurant.
Please.
And I thought people were going to die.
Dinner, out to dinner with the two of us should be a
docuseries.
We
had dinner recently at SEC Media Days.
That was a great dinner.
And it was memorable.
Well, you're a wonderful host. You're a wonderful dinner companion. You're so conversant. It's always a joy when we go out to dinner because, listen, yes, we talk football. Yes, we talk our business. But conversations can go in any direction. You're such a tremendous writer. That you have such a natural curiosity of everything in life. And it's why you're one of my all-time favorite dinner companions. Well, you know, people say that game. Who are the four people you want to go to dinner with?
Yeah. Well, who are they other than me?
Well, living or dead.
Your call.
It's not like I carry around a card in my back pocket where I whip that out. Sinatra's definitely one because how much fun we're going to have.
I would love that.
And I like to be hydrated, so Sinatra's definitely going to be
okay.
One of them. The other three, I don't know where you'd be on the cut list, but it's going to be a tough list.
Let's take me off.
I don't think that's for midday airing. I really don't. I think because I would like to have pure debauchery if I went out to dinner with Sinatra.
I think I know who's on your list.
Yeah.
it would be.
You'd make the cut before Greg McElroy, though. That
well,
I will say.
I mean, Greg is a wonderful guy, but you know, he's not a dinner companion.
But he's a dinner companion for me many, many, many times over. But look
but
at this. Now we got PR coming over. Like, this is something special that we're on.
The queen of college football has arrived.
This is the media superstar. The media superstar. You can't get on the air unless you get her approval.
Remember when she was like.
We were teaching her how to put a lav mic on. It was, and now she runs the whole network. Is she coming on fine by me? Is that why I'm being kicked off the show?
No. I'll close on this. I was about to say, Joe, you're so funny. You should get your own sitcom. But you have one.
Exactly. Thank you. XO ABC. Love you, everybody.
Joe Tessitore.
Hey, season finale of Holy Moly next week, Thursday at 9 o'clock. You got a DVD.
T-O-R-E, the pride of Boston College.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Great game tomorrow, folks. Tune in.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
I mean, you go from Joe Tessitore to Laura Rutledge.
What a downgrade. I'm sorry. You know what? Tess is so busy. He acts like he's not such a big deal, but he's so busy going around and kissing babies and shaking hands and all those things that he does so well that he just didn't have time for you anymore, Paul. I'm sorry.
No, but
you guys were fun, though.
This is like one of those concerts in Central Park or whatever where, as the night goes on, you start to get the bigger acts on.
Yeah, but here's the reality. The real king of the show is the one who's there the entire time, and that would be... Who?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what I thought. What's going on, Paul?
I'm doing great here in Hogland, and we're hanging.
So, you know what? I was just talking to Arkansas's AD, Hunter Yurecek.
Right.
I'm sure he already talked to you. I'm sure
we told you
about this stadium being completely packed tomorrow, which I'm excited about, and I think it really factors into the game. I know that may seem obvious to some people, but you forget what that place sounds like, specifically this stadium, when it is rocking the way that it can.
Well, this place has been dormant for a long time. I remember a couple of years ago we were here doing features on Brett Bielema's wife.
I was. I liked her little dogs.
She was cool.
Yeah. She still is cool.
She's still there.
Yeah, you're right. Like, they are itching for some success from this team. Got a little taste of it last year, but it wasn't the same because of everything going on. And I think this year, listen, tomorrow, huge opportunity for them to make a statement. I feel like... If they win tomorrow, as difficult as their schedule is beyond that, this Arkansas fan base wants to see this big win tomorrow against an old rival, and then they might be okay with whatever else is coming down the pipe.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, like, it's going to be tough no matter what, but...
Yeah, I mean, you look at the SEC, and, you know, everyone's converted well.
Yeah.
And Arkansas, you know, came in the SEC in 1992, but Texas is still their biggest rival.
I know. Stop. This is a really historical rivalry,
yeah.
Though. There's a lot to it.
Now, yeah, there is. And it's funny. I was talking to somebody here today about, I mean, I know about the 69 game. That's the one that's replayed.
Right.
And then somebody from Arkansas said, yeah, but, you know, we were the 64 game. I'm like, going, I don't even remember that. I don't remember
that. You weren't alive then.
Well, Bear, I was alive, but it didn't mean anything because that's a national championship that is still in dispute. I made the mistake a couple of years ago saying this to Jerry Jones.
Oh, what did
he say? He was on that team. They won that year, but Alabama also claims the national championship in 64.
Well, who actually is the national champion in 64?
I will not answer that question while I'm
really,
on Arkansas ground.
I really tried to pin you down there. It didn't work.
Ask me in Alabama in a few weeks.
All right, so, yeah, well, if we end up in Tuscaloosa.
Actually, the question would never come up in Alabama.
Good point, Paul. You are so savage. You are so subtle, and you just keep throwing these digs in there. I'm sorry, everybody, but he's so good. I like you in green, by the way.
Well, thank you.
It's a good look for you.
Yeah, it's not a color that I wear other than
on St.
Patrick's.
What do you guys think? Oh, on St. Patrick. You wear it on St. Patrick's Day so you don't get pinched.
I don't even do that. You know, I'm not one of those guys, it's St. Patrick's Day. Let me go buy a green tie.
I know, but how many people pinch you then?
Nobody.
Well, no one wants to get close to you, so that's why. I think I actually did a show with you once on St. Patrick's Day, and I'm pretty sure I pinched you.
I think you did.
But I would pinch you on days that weren't St. Patrick's Day. So
I want to clear this thing up because... I caught a lot of flack a week ago for dissing your daughter, baby
She deserved
Reese.
It. And she made a bad pick, Paul.
I did. Yeah, I made a bad pick.
She made a bad pick. You
made
a good pick.
So you put out something on social media today. She's apologized or what?
It's an apology, but an APAUL apology. We put your name in there.
Ooh.
Just for people who like those types of corny things. She put out an apology. She has a response to you.
This is where I'm supposed to be the adult.
Oh, I thought we were going to play it. You've already played it. Okay, got it.
I don't know. This is where I'm supposed to accept the apology, right?
Yeah, well, yes, but listen, I wouldn't expect you to do that. You're not a guy that ever accepts an apology or acts like an adult. I mean, come on. That would be totally counter to...
From a two-year-old?
Yeah, well, I mean, she's not even two, Paul. But
she's close.
She did. She not only apologized, she also said that you were right. She also said, go dogs.
Yeah.
And then she said that she loves you.
Yeah.
Which is really sweet.
I accept it.
I knew I could get him.
I mean,
he's such a softy at
am,
heart.
You guys
may think he's a cold-hearted Paul Feinbaum, but that's not true. Not the Paul I know. Not the Paul Reese knows.
No, I'm really a nice guy, but...
But that is interesting because a lot of people are talking about how dominant Georgia's defense is. It's going to be interesting, too, to see offensively with the questions around JT Daniels and, you know, not seeing him at quarterback, what Georgia looks like even against UAB. That game is sneaky interesting. Their defense is dominant. It is so good, maybe the best in college football. But the offense still has, I think, a ways to go, even though they did win a huge one against Clemson. I do think they're deserving of the number two ranking.
We talked to Robert Griffin, who was doing that game. And,
right.
And he said that it is an oblique injury, unlikely to play, could play. But that's the kind of thing, not that I've ever had an oblique.
If you had, I would say, how did you get it?
You're reaching... for some food or something.
Reaching for a honey bun that you were going to slap me in the face with.
Exactly.
Carson Beck might end up starting this game. I mean, listen, and you know the stories around UAB better than anybody, but they do have a good defense.
They do. They're a good team.
Anyway, yeah, but strained oblique. Here's the other thing, too, about Georgia. If you look at their schedule and they feel like they could sort of get JT Daniels some time to heal up, get their receivers a little bit more reps, you know, get their offense in a position where they can stretch the field a little bit more. The way Clemson played defense made it a little difficult to do that anyway. But, you know, get them in position to there we go. Wow, look how good your producers are.
Oh,
put the schedule up there.
These are top-notch people.
Well, look, so you got UAB, you got South Carolina, and you got Vanderbilt. I don't want to be rude to South Carolina and Vanderbilt.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, you end up making me be rude when I don't want to be. They may have a couple weeks to play with, Paul.
Yeah, I would say
that's
they
what
have.
I'm
and then the, I mean, this schedule is very good.
Arkansas goes to Georgia.
Yeah, and
too,
then at Auburn, maybe a challenge. Kentucky,
right.
And then Florida. But we knew that Georgia's season would revolve around two games in the regular season, Clemson and Florida, and then
that's
ultimately
it.
Alabama.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it feels like we're once again headed toward that path. Please tell me it'll be somebody different. I was last year.
I'm glad that you, cause no matter, you make every week exciting, but on this show, the one you're on, everyone just wants to, we can't wait for the first game, and
yeah.
Then it's, I had a guy call in a minute ago, what do you think about Alabama and A&M? What about, can Georgia beat, I mean, what's happened to our world where we just cannot go week to week any longer?
No, it is interesting. No, I feel like a lot of it has to do with the college football playoff, right? And it's interesting because is anyone talking about expansion anymore in the playoff? Like everyone's talking about expansion in these conferences, and we're seeing that happen all over the place. But that's something that feels like it's pulled to the
yeah,
wayside
and
big
the commissioner
time.
Is going to be here in a little while, and I would think that's a pretty important question to
yeah,
ask.
And of course you will because you're the best at this. But I do think that we're all prisoners of the moment. We were even just talking about all the games we're going to talk about tomorrow on the show, and I found myself sitting here making these decisions on what I think about teams after just seeing them 1 week. It's 1 week. Also, I think one thing we haven't talked enough about is that these players, even if they had experience prior to last season, it's been so long since they've played in front of packed
right.
crowds, since they've been in these environments where nerves, they're only human, right? Nerves can be a factor, and the rhythm of a game can be a factor in times that were so unique last season in comparison to this season. I do think you're right to bring up that we should all pump the brakes a little bit, go a little bit more week to week.
You do an NFL show every day. I didn't see it today.
Well, I couldn't see it either. I was actually doing the show, and I couldn't see the show.
We've had those
do?
Issues.
All I could see was you,
but
which I liked.
I'm
but.
Glad they finally brought the TVs back, because we couldn't see anything. The point being that I assumed you probably were already talking about, well, are the Bucks heading to the Super Bowl again? Because that's,
oh, yeah.
we do that in society.
What's wrong with us? Such a hot take society.
I wonder why.
Huh. Well, everyone
I
wants
think shows
instant
like
gratification.
Your show are part of the problem. I see your show every day.
I knew this was somehow going to be turned back
I mean,
on me, you
every
pooter.
Every day while we're doing this, I'm looking up there and
yeah.
Is it over
all
for
right,
the Cowboys?
Mr.
Is
Pot it calling the kettle
is,
black?
Is Brady the? Is,
yeah, I see
is
your
Mahomes
show
better than Brady. I mean, every
I
day.
I see your show during my show, and I look up there, and you've got people saying all kinds of crazy things. Oh, Kirby Smart isn't the right man for the job.
Well,
are you
that's
kidding
fair.
Me? No, it's not. Kirby Smart is absolutely the right man for the job at Georgia.
There's no such thing as an unfair question.
Okay, well, so there you go.
See,
we're both guilty.
You sit there every day. Hold on a second, Kubiak. You sit there
Whoa.
Every day with experts.
Yeah.
Marcus Spears, Dan Orr, whatever his
name Orlovsky.
Is. Orlovsky.
He's calling the Florida game, by the way.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
And I talk to the people that matter, the fans.
They
and
do
if,
matter
if,
the
if
most.
If they want to say whatever they want to say, I'm good with
All right,
it.
So let's just get this straight here. I think your listeners and viewers would appreciate this. The fans are allowed to have hot takes and be prisoners of the moment. But anybody else, and all of us are fans too, by the way. Maybe not you. You are a Tennessee fan sometimes. It's been a while. But
a couple years.
But we're fans, too. We can't be prisoners of the
but
moment.
But you're also the experts.
Oh. Well, I'm not. I mean, you
yeah,
are.
Yeah, I mean, you're the host. Yeah. But, I mean, Marcus Spears, NFL
yeah.
expert.
Yeah. Wow. Uh-oh, Kubiak is so mad at us right now. He says he's an expert on timing. We got to get to break.
I mean, I feel like we're at the Oscars. They're playing the music on
They
you.
Are. Is that music? I couldn't hear it.
Yeah.
Sorry, Kubiak, I can't hear the music. We're not going anywhere.
For those who don't know, Mark Kubiak's running the show.
Everyone's like, who's... Just kidding, Kubiak. Everyone knows who you
Come
are,
Come back
okay?
soon, please.
Yeah, oh, I'm here every day. Oh, look at this girl. By the way, that's a photo of Reese in the future, how she's going to run over you with her bike in a basket for saying she didn't know what she's talking about. You tried to fire her last week. She's not even 2 years old, Paul. And yet she still apologized. Talk about...
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships,
your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back, and the commissioner of the SEC will join us in the next hour. So many important questions to ask Greg Sankey. Ryan McGee here. Ryan, you're a writer, you're an essayist, and millions of essays have been written about Arkansas and Texas.
Yeah.
And sure, I'm sure a couple for tomorrow. How, if you're a stranger or an alien from outer space, how would you describe this rivalry to them?
Well, I think it depends on how old they are, right? I mean, if you're our age, then, you know, I growing up in the Carolinas, Texas, Arkansas was the biggest game on television. Like, you stopped what you were doing. I had no ties to any of the one of those two. It just felt – I just remember thinking that game sounded so loud. Like, it just was – whether it was here or whether it was in Austin, it just felt so loud. But then, you know, and I was a student at Tennessee when Arkansas joined the Southeastern Conference. Yay. But there's really two generations of fans that don't know. I mean, it was, 2003, 2004, 2010? That's kind of it. And so, you know, I've said this to you before, and I've said it to Commissioner Sankey before, which is when conferences make moves or schools make moves, canceling a series or moving to a new conference or whatever, I think – the old guys in charge kind of take for granted that everyone's always going to love the game. But like Texas A&M, I've talked to coaches on both sides about that. Everybody over a certain age still gets really emotional about Texas. But then there's a whole generation doesn't care because they didn't see it. I'm curious. I'm anxious just to get it going again.
Yeah, there's one in particular I can think of that is always played on the third Saturday in October.
So in all fairness, I use the example of my daughter talking to some Arkansas people earlier today, which is she's 16, and our house, we have our diplomas from Tennessee. I have framed pictures of Johnny Majors and Robert Nealon in the house. The Alabama game means nothing to her.
No.
And for me, when I was her age, it was our entire world.
Nothing bigger.
Yeah, and so it's just, it needs to be relevant. But I'll say this, at least they play. You know, this game hasn't been played, and thankfully, this is just going to be an appetizer for what will become a regular season. I would assume in a couple of years.
Yeah, I would think so. And you know, people, you know, over 50, whatever it is, maybe even a little younger. I mean, this was an indelible moment. I remember a handful of games from as a kid. I mean, the one that everybody still talks about is I'll never forget that day watching that game.
Yeah.
And there are not that many games that you had nothing to do with either team that you can, you know, hey, when I was seven, I watched Nebraska-Oklahoma. There may be one. There may be an Alabama-Auburn to kick six. But most people are hung up on their own teams.
Yeah. Well, and you certainly don't have it with regular season games. You know, you might remember a Rose Bowl or a Sugar Bowl or whatever. But a regular season game, I mean, game of the century is so overused now. But back in the day, you know, I mean, I love educating fans, young fans, on the history because I feel like it's important. Like, you know, that's a beautiful sculpture of those hogs over there. Well, the names of the 1964 National Championship team are on that. I want people to read that and know. And usually young people don't care about history, as I find out, but I keep talking about it anyway. It's like everything else in my career.
Well, keep talking about it because it is important. And I you know, when I heard we were coming here, I've never been to one of these games. This was a
big deal.
Part of my youth. It's a part of my life in college football.
Yeah, I mean, it's Frank Broyles and it's Darryl Royal and it's, I mean, player after player after player after player. And you know, the Southwest Conference is forever a memory. No matter, although it kind of reconstructed on some level earlier today.
I went back. We have to go here in a second, but I went back and read Dan Jenkins' recap in Sports Illustrated of the December 6, 1969 game. And I'm not encouraging anybody to do something that's outside their comfort zone by going back and reading an old article.
Yeah, so
but
good,
man, this whole place was upside down. And that's the famous game that the president came to. Ryan, we'll see you tomorrow morning, all morning, beginning at, 8 Central, 9?
Eastern. And then I think I'm going to join you on the big show a little bit later.
Look forward to it. Ryan McGee joining us from stateside here.